Come on, you can do better than that. Give the Lord a praise. Come on, don't patty cake him. Give him praise. Glory to his name. Certainly we thank God for the privilege is ours to be in this place. God has blessed us beyond our worth and our deservance, and certainly we ought to be glad about it. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Where we are, he brought us. What we have, he gave it to us. What we know, he taught us. It's good to be alive. It's good to be alert, and it's good to be available. Good to be in the land of the dying, on our way to the land of the living. Certainly we thank God for all that has transpired already, for the purpose of worship and praising his holy name. Thank God for a portion of health and strength, sanctity, substance, and security. Thank God for deacons who have devoted us, trustees. Thank God for the choir that have sang so melodiously, blessed us in song. Thank God for the ushers. Thank God for these preachers, Pastor Emeritus Walker. Thank God for all of you. And amen goes right there. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Thank you for your kindness shown toward my wife for 46th birthday. Amen. When people are nice, I was taught to say thank you. Give me a little volume. Certainly we thank you for your kindness and generosity. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Look at someone, if you will, and say, the eye of the body. Look at another and say, the eye of the body. Amen. That's what I want to talk about, the eye of the body. The eye of the body. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is guarding his disciples against the ways of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were known as hypocrites because they were religious in conversation, but in conduct, they were totally something else. It is in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus warned his disciples against the practices of the Pharisees. He says, be not like them in your giving. Be not like them in your praying. And be not like them in your fasting. For they spend all their time seeking the praise of people and chasing the wealth of the world. Jesus says, be not like the Pharisees, hypocrites. In other words, don't invest the bulk of your time, the bulk of your energy, seeking the praise of people. Don't invest the bulk of your time and your energy chasing the wealth of the world. Invest your time, invest your heart, invest your energy in the kingdom of God and in the work of God's kingdom, because only what you do for Christ will last. Jesus taught his disciples the importance of investing their heart in the kingdom of God, because they were young in the ministry and could easily be turned aside or turned away from true focus of kingdom ministry. He warned them. He says, don't invest your heart in the ways of the world, the wealth of the world, because wherever a man's treasure, yes, sir, there his heart is also. What a person seeks, chases, and pursues determine, yes, sir, their heart's treasure. In other words, pursuit determines allegiance and loyalty. What you love, you chase after. What you desire, you chase after. It becomes the pursuit of your life. It becomes what you give yourself to. It becomes your loyalty, your allegiance. Here's the subject. Here's the subject. Avoid divided loyalty. Y'all come on with me now. Here's the subject. Avoid divided loyalty. What Jesus is saying to us is that you cannot pursue the kingdom of God and pursue the kingdom of the world at the same time. You cannot store treasures on earth and store treasures in heaven at the same time. You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. Avoid divided loyalty. Look at somebody, if you will, and help me preach. Look at them and say, avoid divided loyalty. Avoid divided loyalty. To understand verses 22 and 23, you must consider them in the context in which they are positioned. In other words, we must look at what Jesus said before and after to understand the true meaning of what he is saying in verses 22 and 23. In verses 19 through 21, Jesus taught about the investment of one's heart. That you cannot divide your heart. Your heart is either with God or is not. You cannot live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. You cannot live with half of your heart in the kingdom of God and half of your heart in the kingdom of the world. He says, be careful where you invest your heart. For you will either invest your heart in things of the earth, or you will invest your heart in heaven. You do one or the other. In verses 24, he says, no man can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 22 and 23. He's sandwiched in the middle. If you will, these verses. Notice he says that if you are a child of God, then you are to invest your heart in the Lord, in the things of God, instead of in the things of the world or the things that's evil. The idea is that of singleness or simplicity in your heart. The reason most people are frustrated, bitter, is because they have complicated life in their pursuit of things. You're chasing and chasing and you cannot get. You're chasing and chasing and you cannot get, and you're frustrated. And some of you are even mad with God because you don't have what you think you ought to have. And the reason you don't have what you think you ought to have is because God is trying to break you and change your focus and change the pursuits of your heart. Listen, if you stop chasing the stuff, God will give you things. That's what he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But you want to chase the things and blame God for not having them. He says you need to simplify your life and make single your heart. And he says if you do that, he'll make things chase you. See, one thing about it, you can't fool God. God know what you want. He know why you want it. And so he's trying to get you to understand the importance of singleness of heart. Singleness of heart. He uses an idiom to deal with heart. To deal with heart. See, the Jewish community knew that he was not talking about what you look at, you become. See, he's not talking about what you see with your physical eyes. He's not even talking about your physical eye. No, he's talking about your spiritual heart. Notice now, he deals with the eye, and the eye is single. And he does not say the lamp of the body or the eyes, but the lamp of the body is the eye. And here he's using imagery to denote the moral and ethical character of a person. We need to understand that when Jesus talks about eyes, the people he was talking to did not think about eyeballs, but instead thought about the character and ethical references metaphorically associated with the eye. He's not saying you are what you see. He's describing the moral attitude or attributes of the eye. He says in verse 22, a clause, the lamp of the body is the eye. Eliot said that the eye was also thought to be directly linked to the heart, the organ of thought, desire, and emotions. Eyes express the innermost feelings and desire of the heart. You are not what you look at, but you are what your heart is. You can live no higher than your heart. What you see people doing is what comes from their heart. A few years ago, the late Dr. Manson Johnson told me, he says, man, what people show you, believe it. because they can only act out their heart. And listen, the heart is either good, come on in here, or it's evil. There's nothing in between. We would love for there to be a gray area between, because we want people to be aight. But there's nothing in between. The heart is either good or it's evil. And when people show you that their heart is evil and their heart has not been converted, believe them. And when they show you that their heart is good and they have a converted heart, believe them. The heart serves as the lamp of the body. The heart gives the purpose of the body, and it has not changed. See, lamps, their design then and purpose is the same as today. It's to illumine, to expel darkness. When you light a lamp, darkness goes away. But when you blow out the lamp, darkness comes back. So the purpose of a lamp is to expel darkness. God deals with the heart of man so that his deeds will be good instead of evil. But when God has not dealt with the heart of man, because man will not let God deal with his heart, his deeds are not good, his deeds are evil. He deals with the heart. Look at somebody and tell them, watch your heart. It's the telltale. It speaks louder than your words. Because you can be a person of embellished words, but that doesn't mean you're good. You can be a person of exaggerated speech, but that doesn't make you good. Because you need to weigh words. Don't you just fall for what people tell you. You know, when people want to kind of get at you and mess with you and manipulate you and fool you, you better watch that exaggeration. If they putting a whole lot of emphasis on how you look, you better watch it. Ooh, you know you sharp. You better watch it. Soon as you walk away, now she knows she ain't no business with that. What was he thinking when he came out? Embellished and exaggerated words. You had to watch it. People that really put you up there, you better watch it, because they may not feel nothing about you. He says that you got to watch words and weigh words, because listen, people can say stuff out of their mouth and not mean it from their heart. He's dealing with the heart, the condition of man's heart. And he deals with it from the perspective of eye. He deals, first of all, with the good eye. Verse 22b clause, if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. The light of your body is the eye of your heart. Therefore, when your heart is good, when your heart is focused and fixed on Jesus alone, your whole body will be full of light. The heart controls the activities of the body. Now, let me help you. Because when you read of heart in the Bible, it's not talking about the blood pump. The Greek word for heart is cardia, which means the mind. The mind. So the mind, the heart, controls the activities of the body. Now, Jesus had just commanded his disciples to store up treasures in heaven and has in mind a singleness of heart that will cause the disciples to serve the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus explicitly says in chapter 6, verse 33, above all, pursue God's kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Now, what is a good eye? The word good is translated catch. Catch speaks of sincerity, devotion, and generosity. Oh, so he says a person with a good eye is sincere, devoted, and generous in giving. That's why he's talking about treasure. Treasure, treasure. If you want to test a person, test them with their treasure, their belongings. Notice he says that a devoted heart or a good eye speaks of sincerity in giving. In other words, without hypocrisy, without falsifying, embellishment and exaggeration. In other words, they were not like the Pharisees giving large amounts to be seen. You remember Jesus saw the woman with the two mites and said that she gave more than they gave because she gave from her. Yes, sir. See, you can give a whole lot from your hand, but that doesn't make you true. That doesn't make you sincere. That doesn't make you be without hypocrisy in your giving. Because you giving more than somebody else is giving don't mean you are true in your giving. Come on, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. He says a person with a good eye is a sincere giver. A devoted giver. Loyal, without reservation or misgiving. See, your devotion points to what's inside your heart. Ooh. A devoted heart is dependent on God. See, when you give God all of you belongs to God. You become devoted in every aspect of your life. With your time, with your talent, and with your treasures. Notice you are honest. You are loyal in your giving. You give without reservation or misgiving. See, a devoted heart denounces a life of self-reliance. Some of us, if we would be honest, we are not fully trusting God. We trust him a little bit. We are self-reliant. What I can do. My ability. No. When you have a good eye, there is dependence on God. Jesus taught his disciples to be devoted to God, dependent on God. In Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Listen, when you love him, you will trust him. Because you love who you trust, and you trust who you love. That's devotion. Devotion to God is to hold God closer to you than anything else and everybody else. Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, if you love father, mother, children more than you love the Lord, you are not worthy of him. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he goes on to talk about loving the Lord and how he count everything as a loss to gain Christ. I want Christ, because in Christ is everything I need. Do I have anybody else in the house? No, in Christ you have everything you need. He talks about the sincerity and devotion. But then he talks about a good eye is a generous giver. Is a person who is a generous giver. That generosity flows from the life of Christ. That generosity is driven by love, not pity. In other words, you are not to be generous in giving to feel good, nor with self-centered purposes for someone else. Christian giving is not, it does not look like the world giving or generosity. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, people of the world, evil people, know how to give good gifts to their children. But he says, the Father, how much more shall he give good gifts to them who call or ask upon him? Listen, God, he wants us to be like him instead of generous people in the world. As children of God, we are to share in the generosity of God. We are to share in the giving way of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. When are we going to start so loving people? Will we become generous instead of stingy? Because you will see in a few minutes now that the evil eye is a stingy, greedy eye. But the good eye is, it denotes a person who gives out of sincerity, out of devotion, and out of generosity. Listen to Solomon in Proverbs 11:25. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Listen, one thing I discovered is that God will never let you outgive him. We give with the spoon, God gives with the shovel. God will never let you outgive him. You can never exhaust the bank of heaven. And listen, he promises that he will give you 100-fold in this life. You can never outgive God. No matter how hard you try. Y'all remember that song we used to sing in church? You can't beat God giving. No matter how you try, the more you give, the more, come on, y'all help me. Keep on what? Because it's, you can't beat God giving. No matter how. Generous. God blesses you to be generous. He blesses you to be a giver. He blesses you to mimic his ways. You want to be blessed? Open your fists. And give, because a closed hand can neither give nor receive. Open your fists. Open your hand. Y'all quiet. That's where I want you. I know I'm getting to you because you're quiet. Listen, that's a good eye. A good eye is a person, or it denotes a person who gives out of sincerity, who gives out of devotion, who gives generously. But here it is. He flips a coin and he deals with an evil eye. Verse 23 says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Bad eye is an evil heart with wicked purposes, aims, and plans. It is a heart with intentions of envy, greed, and jealousy. That envy is associated with an unwillingness to share with one's possessions with others. It's not just looking with disdain upon what someone else has, but it's an unwillingness to share one's possessions with others. Envy is regarded as blindness of the soul. That an eye is bad if it is envious, greedy, and covetous. Greed. This ruthless self-seeking and arrogant assumption that others and things exist for one's own benefit. Greed uses people to get things instead of using things to serve people. Greed. This assumption that everything exists and everybody exists for your gain. So you become an abuser of people to get more, to gain more, to ascertain more. He says that's evil. When you use people, when you step on people and step over people and mistreat people and lie on people and abuse people to get more, he says that's evil. When you manipulate situations and manipulate people for your own selfish gain, he says that's evil. And he says that eye is evil. And eye is bad when it's not fulfilling its normal function. In terms of science, a diseased eye causes inner darkness. Because a diseased eye is divided between two objects. When I was a boy, there would be some that had cross eyes. And they called them cross-eyed or cross-eyed. And they were said to be looking at two objects at the same time. It's a causing of double vision. Now, remember I said that the purpose of this is to be single in your vision. But when you have double vision, when you are cockeyed, when you have cross-eyed faith and cock-eyed faith, when you trying to be with God, got one eye on God and one eye in the world, you cross-eyed. You have confused vision. You seeing some stuff you ain't got no business seeing. Do I have a witness here? Which means that you trying to be in good with God and good in the world at the same time. And when people have double vision, they are blind guides. That's why Jesus says that if you are looking one way and another way at the same time, you are not good to be leading somebody else, because you're going to fall in the ditch, and whoever is following you, they're going to fall in the ditch. You can't look at the world and at the cross at the same time. You can't cross your eyes to see the road. You're going to see the ditch as the road, and the road as the ditch. Because I don't look straight, but it's turned here and there and everywhere. Man that has cross-eyed sees two grounds to trust. Spurgeon said, he who has two grounds to trust is lost. He who relies upon two salvations is lost. He cannot say of Christ, he is all my salvation and he is all my desire. That man is not only in danger of being lost, but he is already condemned, because he has not believed in the Son of God. For the cross-eyed thinks that he can serve God and mammon. But the Lord says that that's an impossibility, that you cannot serve two masters. Help me close this sermon union style by looking at your neighbor and say, you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to cling to one and despise the other. But you cannot serve two masters. And I'm going to close by telling you that I'd rather be with God and broke in the world than to be rich in the world and without God. Because in Christ, I got everything I need. Slip your hand in your neighbor's hand and said, neighbor, in Christ, I got everything I need. He makes me rich when I ain't got a dime. He makes me laugh when ain't nothing funny. He makes me cry, ain't nothing wrong with me. He makes me run and ain't nobody behind me. Ain't he all right? If you know you got everything you need in the Lord Jesus Christ, look at your neighbor and said, neighbor, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. He walks with me. He talks with me. He held me in the midnight hour. He rocks me to sleep at night. Ain't he alright? Can't nobody do us like Jesus, and can't no possession hold us like Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus and be broke in the world than to be rich in the world without Jesus. Thank God for Jesus, because Jesus came to give me abundant life. Well, how did he do it? He went to Calvary and gave his life on Calvary's mountain. He died until the S-U-N refused to shine. He died until the stars fell from the silver socket. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He died cried until the earth reeled and rocked like a drunk man. He died until the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. He died until a centurion said he must be the Son of God. He died when he gave his spirit to his Father, dropped his hand in the locks of his shoulders. How many of you know he died? But that's not the end of the story. They took his lifeless body down from the cross and put it in a borrowed grave. And whatever you borrow, you got to give it back. Is there anybody here? No, he didn't need it, but for a few days, loan it to me for Friday night, Saturday day, but early Sunday morning, he got out of the grave with all power in his hands. Let me ask him my question, then I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yeah. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Singleness of heart. Avoid divided loyalty. He wants all or none. Singleness of heart. Listen, you can't be hot and cold, lukewarm. You're either hot or you're cold. Avoid divided loyalty. He wants all of your heart. He wants all of your heart. It's not about your treasure. It's about your heart. Because listen, he don't want what you give from your hand if he doesn't have your heart. Because merely going through the motions of giving doesn't please God. If a sacrifice would please him, if someone says, I would have given it. Lord, you're tired of the sacrifices without the heart. He wants your heart to be with him. He talks about treasure. He talks about two masters. But then he talks about the singleness of the eye. Listen, if you are not saved, that means that you're with the devil. You're not with God. But he calls, he invites you to come. To give your heart to him. Bless you. Come on, come on. He invites you to come. So that you can experience his love and love him back with your whole heart. Come, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. Give him your soul. Give him you. Don't let the devil blackmail you. I'm not talking about that foolishness that preacher wants your money and all of that kind of stuff. No, I want your soul saved. And I want you to understand the Christian living is about. Don't you let the devil fool you. Come on, come on, come on. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home, the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart, in your spirit, as a faith family. Come on. Come on, thirdly. If you're here and you need to be restored. Listen, you may be here and I'm going to push you today. And you need prayer. You know your heart is not single. You're trying to live with double loyalty and allegiance. Come on. Come on. We want to pray for you. That God makes you single in your focus. Lord, I'm not committed as I ought to be. I can do more. I can be better. I can be more devoted and committed. Come on. Come on, come on. The doors. The doors. Still.